and I love you so. People ask me how I've lived till now. I told them I don't know. I guess they understand how lonely life has been till life begins again the day you took my hand. And yet I know how lonely life can be. The shadows follow me, and the nights won't set me free. But I won't let evenings get me down. Now that you're around me,
I love a sunburned country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. That was a popular stanza excerpted from My Country, one of the best known works of poetry in Australia by Dorothy McKellar, which perfectly captures the natural beauty and the heart and spirit of Australia. Australia is a country rich in history and culture. Australia's natives, known as Aborigines, are believed to have travelled across the sea from Indonesia 70,000 years ago. Europeans arrived in the 16th century. The Portuguese were first followed by the Dutch and then the English. As a continent, Australia is actually physically similar in size to the USA, Europe and China. But even as it is a big country, it is one of the most sparsely populated in the world. There are quite a number of nomadic Aborigines living in many areas of Australia and have been living on this wide brown land for thousands of years. Australian wildlife has a reputation of being cute and cuddly animals. Some of these fascinating animals include kangaroos, koalas, possums, dingoes, and Tasmanian devils. Additionally, there are only two species of monotremes in the world, and Australia is home to both of them. The echidnas, a type of spiny anteater, and the platypus. Australia, like most other places in the world, has its own myths and legends. Some of them come from Aboriginal Dreamtime stories, like how the Kookaburra got his laugh and Waltzing Matilda. The origins of many are unknown. Some legends were written into poems and songs, which in turn evolved into legends as well, and in the telling, the poets themselves also became legends. Modern Australia is host to people from all over the world. Indeed, the country is home to some of the world's most talented people. In literature, the author Patrick White is a Nobel Prize winner, and fellow authors Peter Carey and Thomas Keneally are recipients of the famed Booker Prize. In opera, Dame Joan Sutherland is Australia's best-known diva. She was the undisputed coloratura soprano of her time. Nellie Melba was the world's biggest opera star at the beginning of the 20th century. In cinema, Australia is home to Oscar winners Mel Gibson, Russell Crowe and Nicole Kidman. Musically, the country has produced famous bands such as the Bee Gees, AC/DC, INXS and Midnight Oil. In 1993, Sincere Truth Seekers invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to make a stopover during her 1993 World Lecture Tour to share her wisdom and insights about God and spirituality. Supreme Master Ching Hai graciously accepted their invitation. Please join us on Words of Wisdom today for an insightful lecture entitled You Are the Supreme Master, delivered by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Brisbane, Australia on March 20th, 1993.
Tell us about God the Father. What is he like?
He is like you. He has two parts, the good part and the naughty part. The naughty part he used to make life going on in bitter and sweet and in all the follies, so to amuse whoever likes to see these things. The good part he used to give us strength, spiritual knowledge, and all the holy, noble things that we can do. Now, if we say God is all good and love is fine also, but then we can't explain for all the devil in this world. there is actually no evilness, no evil in this world. It's just that the way we look at things, that we do not know how to play the game with God, that things turn sour and become negative. If we learn to contact God, things, reconstruct themselves, and then we see things in a different light. We know how to mix them. Just like some so-called poison even, the scientists know how to use it for the benefit of people's health. But if use it in a layman's manner, it kills. So God is not a person or not even a non-person. It's a supreme power that pervades the whole universe. And we are within it. Also, we are part of it. Also, we are the totality of it. We know this God according to our diligence in searching, according to the grace of God, which comes in proportion to our sincerity, of our thirst of knowledge of the kingdom of God within. And that is temporarily explained about the so-called God. Otherwise, if you look at your neighbor, if you want to see God, it's next to you. Look at each other and try to see whether you find God within him, because the Bible says so. Yeah? When you do something good and noble, with all love to your neighbors or to someone you don't know, that is when you realize you are God, or that is when God within you awakens. When you do something you think is undesirable or harming some person, that is when you allow the naughty part of God take the upper hand. But this is all the game anyhow. We have to be enlightened to tolerate both and to turn bad into goodness.
You spoke about using sound and vibration as meditation. Which mantras do you use? Mm-hmm. And why have you not shared them with us?
I'm willing to share with you. Mm. But it takes a few hours with me, so that I can tell you the whole process, yeah? And which elements to avoid and what to try to remember and all that. We don't use any mantra. The sound comes from itself at the time of initiation. You just sit quiet and it will come. And I'll show you how to sit quiet. It's very simple, but we have forgotten, because we're too accustomed with being busy, with being complicated, and with being, running here and there. So we don't know how to sit still anymore. We thought when we sleep, that is when we sit still. Or when we don't do anything, that's when we sit still. It's not so. There is a little connect, and that's what separates heaven and earth. And we will show you, okay? But if you have time with us, if you're truly interested, and later on, after the lecture, if you want to know the secret, I'm willing to share with you, okay? At the time of initiation, we have to sit together for a couple of hours, tell you everything about the pitfalls on the path, about where we go wrong, and where we should pay attention, and that's all. But the enlightenment, the sound or the light comes alone, not because of these instructions, comes alone. The enlightenment comes alone. It is the grace of God. It's our self, our wisdom self awakens.
I also have been initiated into light and sound meditation, have been doing that meditation for nearly 10 years. Was told when I was initiated I could reach enlightenment. Did it faithfully, still not enlightened. What makes your system superior?
First, why I regard this method as best, because I have tried various methods. Because our fellow practitioners, many of them also practice different methods, and they haven't arrived what they arrived now. Yeah. And also I myself search for the truth since childhood and practice various ways and means to reach God. But for this I got it fastest and quickest and safest. Therefore I say to you, through experiences. And the light and sound you have been initiated into, I do not know whether it is heavenly light and sound or just the outer mantra and the candlelight. Many people teach people also to look at the candlelight and then to imagine many things, visualize many things, visualize the light and visualize the sound. Maybe it's a little bit different from us. The light and the sound comes alone, without visualization, without any outer aids, without anything to do physically or mentally at all. All comes purely from God. There are many systems they call also light and sound, but they told people to go on the beach and listen to the sound of the sea waves on the beach. No, we listen it inside. The sea waves are inside. The church bells are all inside, without any effort, without any mantra, without any physical action. Because if we have kingdom of God inside, it all came from the kingdom of God, not the human effort.
Why do you get an actual form of healing as magic?
Did I say magic? Probably I said stood for healing. Because if we lay hands on someone and heal him, we steal the position from God. We make the person be thankful to us instead of thanking God, or turning within and try to get the healing source of our healing inside. It's probably not very idealistic. And also, it depleted us from our spiritual power, which we need to claim back to our glorious kingdom of God. Okay? There are different healings. Maybe some magical healing also. Magical healing, sometimes people can heal today, but it comes back again tomorrow or next month in the same form or in different form, a kind of postponement, not a true healing. True healing comes when you don't heal. Like somebody just touched Jesus' garment and she is healed. And Jesus never claimed credit for it. He said, your faith has made you whole. You see, he accredited to the Father. And that is the best healing. Many of my fellow practitioners claim that I heal them through my transformation body, so-called. But I don't know nothing about it. I say it's your virtues, it's your wisdom that is awakened, that works for you, through whichever form. Might go through the form of Jesus, might go through my bodily form, but that has nothing to do with individual. And that is the best healing. When you heal the soul forever, and then that soul is forever free from bodily discomfort and never die again. Forever in glory. That's the best healing. Therefore I say refrain from spiritual healing. But if that's absolutely necessary in some case, then you do so at your spiritual expenses. And you might be retarded somehow in the progress. But try never to claim credit for it. Otherwise we will get the karma very heavily for interfering with the law of nature.
Yes. Master Shinghai, to what degree does enlightenment come from self-effort and to what extent from the grace of God or the Master?
Actually, it comes from both. For example, we say, well, we have to make an effort to purify our body, speech and mind through leaning more toward righteous conduct and through having a more modest lifestyle, taking a vegetarian diet, minimize the bloodshed on earth, and sitting in quietness to remember God. Through this extent, we say, we do it with our effort. But these are only still on the physical and moral level. And even sometimes, without doing that, consciously, the grace of God still descends on us and gives us enlightenment. So for example, during the time of initiation, you have not prepared yourself for vegetarian diet, but you promised to, and that's enough for me. And then you still get enlightenment all the same, without any precondition or prerequisite preparation. That is the grace of God. And after that, to keep the enlightenment, to purify yourself and to progress more rapidly on the path, you keep on with the virtuous living and the vegetarian diet in order to minimize the side effect and to polish more our loving nature inside, include all beings. Then we continue to get greater and greater wisdom, greater enlightenment. So both are really necessary. But we do it without effort, not because you sit there or you eat vegetarian that you become Buddha. It's not true. Just because of our sincerity, and we show it through our sacrifice, the flesh for the spirit, in some minimum ways. It's like forsaking the palatable taste and doing some good work and things like that, or reserve a few hours every day to sit in communion with God. But otherwise, it's not the main ingredient for enlightenment. Enlightenment must be grace from God. And that we receive through sincere longing at the time of initiation and continue throughout our life.
How does the average person recognize an illuminate or, I believe, enlightened person?
If you have your spiritual eyes open, then you will see an illuminated person is illuminated all over him and around him, and everywhere he resides. Grace flows from him. Light pours forth from him. But if we have not that wisdom eye open some degree, we can't see it. Therefore, many disciples saw Jesus with halos around him. So if you want to recognize a spiritual enlightened person, you have to be yourself somewhat enlightened. Otherwise, we can recognize that person through his speech, actions, or maybe through our intuitive feeling, or through prayer. We can pray to God, let me know whether this person is enough enlightened to guide me, please. I just want the ultimate enlightenment. Pray deeply to God and see how He guides you. If the feeling is drawn more toward that person, then you know it's correct, that person is all right. If you're still more drawn toward the Word or other master, then follow it. But have to be sincere to get deep into your own wisdom, to get the intuitive response. If you haven't got the heavenly eye open to see. Because the light from the spiritual person is not material light. And it hurts your fleshly eyes if you are not highly developed enough to see it. Otherwise, Christ would have saved the whole world, at least the people of his time. Buddha would have rescued all India, at least. But we are blind, we can't see that clearly. Therefore the Bible says, seeing you see, but you do not perceive. Hearing you hear, but you do not understand. That's why we are in trouble. So we have to open our wisdom eye and see. And we can help you to do that.
Do you recognize different levels of illumination? And if so, what are the tests or signs?
Yes. There are definitely different levels of enlightenment. And in our method, we can show you how to verify it yourself at home. Mm. There are certain qualities of light or sound which represents a certain level of consciousness. And if you go through that, you know which light belongs to which level. For example, in the astral world, which is very near to our earthly consciousness, and the light is dimmer, just like the sunlight maybe, yes. But in the other higher level, the light is brighter, sometimes like thousands, millions of suns. That you can recognize very easy, but with practice. And you have to go through it, to know. We tell you later at the initiation if you wish to know in detail.
Yes. What should a non-compassionate person who recognizes his state that he is not compassionate, what shall such a person do? with himself, fake compassion or gain it in stages?
Oh, I would recommend the second. But if we don't have it, then at least we start from learning. I wouldn't say fake compassion, but learning compassion. Just like a student who has not been able to speak English, but he may repeat it from the teacher, even though he doesn't know the whole vocabulary in English literature, but at least he learned a few phrases and memorized a few pages each day until he complete his course. Each one has to learn. There's no one is a fake or anything. It's just he hasn't learned. Yeah? No one has taught him, and he has not practiced the art of compassion. So try to do it in a small way and gradually increase until you're completely being compassionate without knowing, self-consciously being compassionate. Yes.
Master Ching Hai, if God is all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful, why does he not communicate with us despite our lack of effort and ignorance and enlighten us with his power?
Oh, he does, he does. He does. We didn't want to. We're too busy. We're too busy talking, too busy working, too busy scolding the children and scolding ourselves, the neighbor and all that. And even when we go to the church, we're too busy singing and dictating God what to do. Oh, please, God, my house is in disorder, my wife run away, my children is not brave and all that, and this, please take them and do this and that. We're too busy and we don't be quiet to listen to what God says. We ask, but we don't wait for the answer. So, I tell you how to hear God's answer. If you have the time, after the lecture, whoever wants to know it, stay behind, and I give you the secret of communication with him. And you can blame him all the things that you want when you know him. He does. He does communicate with us. But God give us the free will to choose to listen to him or not to listen. That's the trouble, see? So we have to be clever and choose the way.
Master Ching Hai, are we one or are we individuals?
What do you think? Huh? If we are one, I wouldn't be speaking to you. If we are individuals, then we deny that I and my father are one. So what to do? What to say? What do you think? Huh? We are one when we know we are one, when we truly realize inside, when we sit in meditation and lost ourselves in oneness of all things, then we can say we are one. But when we descend back into the duality of this earthly life, then we are individuals. We have to play the game of life until we completely finish with our duties, and then we go back to the kingdom of God and become one again, forever. But we don't lose our individualities, yeah? Therefore, Jesus is still alive. I mean, Christ is still teaching somewhere else. Yes. After he finished his job here, he got assigned somewhere else. As then, none of us would die anyhow, just different direction.
Is there life after death?
Sure there is, huh? Mm. Even without asking me, you have seen report on television, newspapers, and a lot of medical and scientific research, which is written in many books, yeah, and is much more so available in English versions. I'm sure you know better about this.
Master Ching Hai, what are your views on evolution?
Well, it's a necessary process, just like we have to learn in the class, yeah, after finishing kindergarten, we go to primary school, and then after primary school, we go to high school, should we desire to, or compulsory, should we compose to do, yeah? Or if we want to reach a higher degree of knowledge, then we go to the college. And after that, even continue to learn through practice and experiences in our job, in our field. Similarly, in our creation, we could stay here as human beings, or we could arise ourselves into the level of heavenly beings, or we rise ourselves to Christ-like status. That's why Jesus said, what I do, you can do also. And Buddha also say, I have become Buddha, and you will also become Buddha. Yes.
Are there any problems for people with health problems to get initiation and practice your Kuan Yin method?
No problem. Anyone, no problem. But maybe the problem with the diet. After initiation, we cook vegetarian. And instead of throwing a few beef steak inside, we throw a few tofu, or vegetarian ham, vegetarian protein. So if that makes any problem with you about the replacement, then it might be called problems. Otherwise, I do not see any problem, anyone at all.
Can you explain what faith is? Doesn't that bring us back to love? Isn't it love that all there is?
Yeah, you're right. How can I describe things that is so abstract? If you love another girl or another boy, how can you describe this love? Can you?
Dear Master, I've been a vegetarian for more than 5 months. However, my occupation needs me to be in contact with meat regularly. I'm making pies in a bakery.
Means meat pies and things like that?
Yes, okay. That's right.
Yeah, so?
May I still have initiation?
Sure. But I think that you have a little conscience problem, so you may find a better job in the future, slowly, yeah? When you find a better job for you, then you quit this present job,
Master Xinghai, have you seen God?
Yeah. I have seen God. Anytime. Just like I see you. All of my disciples sees God to some degrees. Jesus, Buddhas, Indian saints, or other different saints, and talk to them, learn from them. They are representative of God. And we can know God also directly.
Master Xinghai, to resolve past experiences, do we have to relive them to enable us to progress in this life?
You see, there's God power inside can erase everything, but we cannot, because it's registered deeply inside our subconscious. Only we use God's grace can we erase anything. Otherwise, we just imagine things and understand at the intellectual level. So enlightenment is the answer for that.
Master Xinghai, you say that enlightenment comes from within us and that it comes from God, and God is within us. Does that mean that we are God, or is God only what we believe him or her to be?
That's a very good question. See, in the Bible it is said that God made man in his own image. And then also it says that God dwells within us. Truly, we are God. The body is not we, it's only the house. That house God. And if we identify ourselves with the body, then of course we are not God. But if we know the dwellers of the house, the owner of the house, then that is God. Okay? And we are that. But it takes a long time to know if we follow the complicated way of life. It takes a very short while to know if we follow the way of God.
You say, I invite you sincerely. Yes, so what do I need to do now?
Just tell the information people that you want to come later. Put your name down and we'll call you. Okay? We call you to come in. That's
yes.
All. Yeah? And replace the beef steak with tofu or vegetarian protein later. That's it. That's the only condition, nothing else. I meditate as instructed every day, 5 times for it. I know most of you say, we don't have time, we don't have time. But would you like to spend all your times like that? Not knowing who you are and where you go after death? Contented to let the world making a slave out of you? Using up all your times and energy for trivial matters? Even though you had enough money, the world urged you to make more. Even you have a higher position, the world is urge you to have a higher position, etc. Even though you have a lot of times, they will ask you to go and do this and that, wasting a lot of time. So you have to make time. You have to have a courage to be your own master and to choose what you want to do. Would you like to live this courageous life, or you prefer to just swallow in this sorrowful state or aimless life and let every situation control you? So you make choice.
Yes. As I understand it, when practicing meditation, people must practice in a very calm place. In this noisy industrial country, is there any serious effect when people practice meditation in such a noisy environment?
Mm-mm. We, the fellow practitioners, meditate on the trains, on the buses, on the way to work, on the buses, on the way home, and meditate in the park, in the lunch break hours. I meditated on airplane with all the hostess and stewardess running around with meat dishes and ice cream and all that. No problem. I tell you, I have all the experiences on airplane while traveling or buses or wherever. In a busy supermarket even. It doesn't affect you at all. You'll be surprised. When you're truly sincere, God is everywhere, always with you, and never leave you. We protect you from all situations, and you'll be always inside. Even though you work outside, you're always inward. And it's a very incredible state of mind that can hardly be expressed by human language. I can only invite you to understand, to join in and enjoy. If I make a very beautiful apple pie and keep describing it to you through the telephone, will it do you any good? No, huh? I can make apple pie. I can make beautiful apple pie. Yeah. I learned it in England.
Life after death. Is there a reason why we can't remember living before and remember past lives?
We have to learn to be enlightened. If we do not fulfill our purpose as a human being, that is, to bless this earth, to make the living beings in this earth evolve into a higher consciousness, then we have to come back again and relearn these lessons until we completely fulfill this purpose. That means we have to get in touch with our inherent power within and use it to bless the world. Then we have to relearn again and come back again.
Master, can you describe the stages from our first enlightenment to final enlightenment?
Oh, I can describe it. I describe better at the time of initiation because you will experience it yourself. I can say a little bit like a framework, like, but it depends on the individuals. For example, someone at the time of initiation is in the first level, the astral level, but some other people are already on the third or the fourth level. Therefore, the time to reach final realization is different between each person. So you start from the astral level, which is above our earth level, and then go to the intellectual level and pass through the creative level, creative power level, and then pass to the great dark tunnel and then go through to the kingdom of God. It's approximately like that. Yeah. There might be fifth level until you reach the complete knowledge of the truth. Okay? And so it depends on where you started at the time of initiation. You will reach it faster or slower.
Yes. Master, please tell us about the ideal daily routine.
Try to do what you would like other people do to you. Try to avoid what you think you yourself would not like other people do to you. That's the best. Otherwise, enlightenment is the best. Then you will know intuitively what's right, what's wrong. And no need any teacher pinpoint at you and say, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that. It would be better to be your own master. And therefore, we show you the way to know yourself.
Master Qinghai, please explain reincarnation or coming back to continue learning if you fail to reach enlightenment in this life.
Reincarnation is the leftover of the unfulfilled desires, be it spiritually or materially. Suppose if we have not been enlightened enough to pull ourselves together back to where we belong, then we'll still be controlled by our material desires, our unfulfilled promises. We love someone and that one doesn't love us, married someone else, for example. And we keep this unfulfilled sentiment in our heart and vow to come back again, subconsciously or consciously, next time, and try all the way through life to reach that unfulfilled promise. That's why we reincarnate. The saintly people, they reincarnate also, but at their own will. They want to come, they come. They don't want to come, they remain in the kingdom of God. But we are born through the force of our own desires. And that is the difference. So after the initiation, we will be in a less and less desirous state of mind. We just feel very detached from this world, even though we still love our families, we still do our work, but we know at the same time a state of heavenly beings. Therefore we see the better part and the lower part cannot attract us anymore. Therefore we are free from desires at the time of our death, so-called death, for we are free of everything, and then anything is light and free will flow upward, just like an air balloon, huh? Yes. Only air inside. You fly upward, yes. So the reincarnation theory does exist, but because we are not enlightened, that's all. Otherwise, there's no such things as reincarnation. But there is to the ignorant state of mind, because we cling to things.
Yes, Master Qinghai, when I get enlightenment, how can I keep it forever? Can it be lost?
You can keep it, but we have to polish it by purifying our actions, our speech, and our mind. And if we are initiated by an enlightened master, we will be taken care of, even though if we fail sometimes. But if we sincerely repent and pray to the inner master, we will be also taken up. But in life we will experience suffering, and the enlightenment seems to be lost somehow, or it comes now and again only, not a continuous process of bliss and self-assurance, self-realization. For those who keep the precepts, keep the vegetarian diet and practice sincerely every day, they keep it forever. They keep it in their daily life as well as the time of death and also in heaven. They continue to polish until they can become master.
Master Shingha, please explain heaven.
Heaven, there are two stages. One on earth and one is in heaven. Heaven on earth is when we are enlightened and satisfied and feel loving in whatever circumstances. And heaven in heaven is when we left this earth and then we reside permanently over there in a very blissful planet. We have no sorrow, no anxieties, and no desire for anything because everything is there without asking. Thank you for your love and your supporting atmosphere. I enjoy very much being with you and enjoy your blessing very much, very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on today's Words of Wisdom. Please tune in again tomorrow for a special presentation of Animals Are Angels and Protectors of Humans. And now, please stay tuned for a special presentation of Supreme Master Qinghai's poems on music and poetry, only on Supreme Master Television. We wish you a blessed and joyous day.
First experimenting in the oil painting Song of the Sea, natural perfection is evident in Supreme Master Qinghai's unique and effortless style.
Well, I think everything God created, even a piece of pebble, is perfect in his own way.
To her, everything inside and outside, from heaven to earth, can be the object of depiction. Be it a few old books, a simple piece of fruit, or a sweeping hillside swaying underneath the sun. The latest collection of Supreme Master Qinghai's paintings, compiled in the book entitled The Collection of the Art Creations, covers 15 new paintings, including Ash the Chain, and Summer. Style is so exquisite and refined that each stroke and line represents the very essence of perfect nature. These new masterpieces are like blessed fruits that shower us from above. The book also includes a powerful painting called The Battle Between Yin and Yang. The layout of the book is sequenced by years, allowing us to journey through time, space, and the world of the paintings. And to share the relaxation of a wise sage, the beauty and depth of a poet, as well as the sensitivity and freedom of a nomad, just like the lunar halo in peaceful time is too expansive to be framed, these paintings have a quality that goes beyond any limitation, shining boundlessly and constantly as the moon. welcome you to enjoy the paintings of Supreme Master Ching Hai in the book The Collection of the Art Creations.
Salve cari spettatori e benvenuti. In Italian, that means hello and welcome, viewers. This is Noteworthy News, positive news for a better world, here on Supreme Master Television, bringing you uplifting news.
Supreme Master Television is broadcast from Los Angeles, California, in the United States. Our programs are available in Europe, the Middle East, and North Africa on Astro 1 at 19.2 degrees east or Hotbird 6 at 13 degrees east. For elsewhere in the world, we are conveniently featured on the internet at suprememastertv.com. Supreme Master Television is on air and online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, dedicated to positive television programming.
In today's news, India plans to power 25,000 villages by solar energy by 2012. In health news, smokers in the United Kingdom will be given graphic warnings about the danger of smoking. In animal news, an auction of handprints to raise money for our sweet feline friends. In environmental news, a Malaysian company is making biodegradable containers from potato resin. All this and more on Supreme Master Television, your positive channel.
Today in history, September 22, 1962, was the dedication of the Church Centre of the United Nations. The centre currently houses Church Women United, American Baptists, Presbyterians, and the World Council of Churches. With the representation of Christian groups near UN headquarters, the groups are able to coordinate their activities with UN international directives. Many thanks to the founders of the Church Centre of the United Nations, a building of diverse denominations that together work with the United Nations to help improve human lives.
Olmert and Abbas, Partners for Peace. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert recently said that Israel has a partner for peace in Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. The two leaders have met periodically in recent months to prepare for the upcoming International Mideast Peace Conference. Prime Minister Olmert said that he and Mr. Abbas will sign a joint statement on the understandings reached so far between the two. Thank you to Prime Minister Olmert and President Abbas for your commitment to forging a lasting peace between your peoples. May heaven bless the Mideast Peace Conference with immense success.